You are listening to Freedom Wranglers Main Focus. We are going to talk about something amazing in the Word of God today. We can't wait to share our hearts with you. So why don't you sit back, saddle up, and help us wrangle in the freedom of knowing Jesus. Freedom Wranglers are in the house. Yes, we are.
We are.
Freedom Wranglers are in the house. Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Freedom Wranglers in the house.
We're here, guys.
We're lions here. And not mouse.
Yes,
lion, but whatever.
Freedom Wranglers are in the house. Yes, we are.
Oh, yes, we are.
How you doing, gang?
Woo! We are so glad to be here for y'all.
Yes, we're excited today. We have got some good stuff. We're not going to do what's happening today because, you know, hey, we all kind of know what's happening. Fauci's stepping down in December. We'll talk more about that next week.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we'll see, right? Everybody, I have a lot of speculation on that. Everybody's like, oh, there's no way he's stepping down. And I'm like, you'll see.
He's like 80-something anyways, so,
yeah,
you know, and the average Joe would have been gone a long time ago, but wait a second.
the average Joe
is in the White House. Yeah. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Ooh. I think he's on his, like, third vacation right
now. Oh, is he? That's nice. So nice. Yeah. Speaking of vacations, we just actually booked a vacation for January. Super excited.
Oh, you did? Where are you guys headed?
We did. We are headed to the Bahamas. We're going on a cruise.
Bahama Mama.
Yes. We were going to go over Christmas, but we couldn't get an extra room for Ben. So we're going like the 7th of January. And we're going with Norwegian. And the exciting thing is Norwegian don't require vaccine passports.
Well, isn't that something? Something positive, right? I heard that it's hard, you know, to go on those cruises because you have to have passports, which I would think that would phase out with.
Yes. I said that too. I said, oh, this requirement for the vaccine is going to go pretty soon because, you know, it's not required for flight. So why would it be required on the cruises? So anyway, and they're not even going to be doing like that whole testing nonsense. So we're excited. We're going on, I think it's a 6-night cruise to a couple of different places in the Caribbean, like the Dominican Republic and St. Thomas. I don't know if we go to Nassau, but it's going to be fun. It's just, it's a great time to get away. And
that's so fun. You guys would be like pirates. Pirates in the Caribbean.
That's right. That's right. Army hearties. But yeah, so that's, you know, that's the news that is the news. But how are you doing, girl? You got through the first week of school last week, I see.
Yes, yes, you're right. I tell you what, this boy has just been loving going to school. I mean, seeing all his friends and, you know, every morning. I'm so blessed. I get to drop him off and pray with him and pick him up from school. And he's always got a big smile on his face. So far, things are going great. He enjoys going to school. So I haven't seen any frowns or anything. So it's been a positive thing for him.
Praise the Lord. That's good stuff. That is good stuff. He's settling in.
Yes, he is.
That's what you need. I know that like Virginia schools went back this week.
Yeah.
And I think there's some other schools that are starting beginning of September. It'll be after Labor Day, I believe, a lot of the other ones. But you know, it's interesting. So I was like praying about, you know, Lord, what do you want us to talk about? Where do you want us to go this week? And it was funny because on Friday of last week, my husband needed to go do a little bit of shopping. And I said, I'll come with you. You know, if our schedules meet up, I'll come and hang out with you. And, you know, so we're just doing what we're doing. And as we're walking through the store, he was like, are you not going to get anything for yourself? And I said, you know, no, I said, I'm good. And he's like, are you sure? Don't be like that. And I said, no, seriously. I said, I really just came because I wanted to spend time with you. I like to be in your presence. And that just prompted these thoughts of, if that's how I feel about my husband and wanting to be in his presence, should that not be how we are with God?
Yeah.
and how we should be like, I don't want anything from you, God. Because, like, you know, husbands are always going to be like, mm-hmm, she's come shopping just for me. Uh-huh. Never. She's
yeah. That's something. That's sus.
That's peculiar. Suspicious. Yes. Like, he puts his whole, like, Sherlock Holmes hat on in his little, you know, pipe. And he's like, the game is afoot with this woman. I know she's up to something.
She is up to something.
But I didn't want anything from him. I just wanted to be in his company. I wanted mm-hmm. to be in his presence. And so I began thinking about that and our relationship with God. And, you know, so many times we go to the Lord and we're just like, with our list of things, and we're just like, Lord, you know, I need you to do this and I need you to do that. And blah, 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 you know?
Yeah, I know, right?
And then you're like, okay, thanks. Love you. Bye. And you do mm-hmm. a mic drop and you walk out. And I'm sure that the Lord is just like, oh, well, okie dokie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, we treat him like a drive-through God.
Yeah.
And so I got to thinking that I wanted to pull up some verses about spending time in his presence, because it's just so precious that yes. when you can get in the presence of the Lord, it'll really do something for you. So Exodus 33:14 is the first verse that I'm going to read to you. And, you know, if you're not familiar with the book of Exodus, this is a book of the children of Israel leaving Egypt. Mm-hmm. This is a book written by Moses. And this is when Moses is giving glory. He's talking about the glory of the Lord. And yeah. I'm going to read here in verse 12, and it says, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that the nation is your people. And then verse 14, this is God's reply to Moses. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.
Yes.
I mean, yes. Right there, God is like, yeah, I've told you to lead these people, but you're not on your own in this situation.
Mm-mm.
I'm going to lead them. My presence is going to be there with you. And I know it's a big job, Moses, but I'm going to give you rest because my presence is going to be with you.
Amen.
And that is just so amazing, because then what does God do? As you read through the book of Exodus, you see that the presence of God is actually visible. Mm-hmm. And so he was a cloud by day and a fire by night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he led the children of Israel. When the cloud moved, they packed up and moved.
That's right.
If the fire moved, they continued following the fire. But when the fire or the cloud stopped, that's where they were supposed to build their camp and remain in his presence. What must that have been like?
I mean, the whole physical thing, like seeing it, I know that that would have been encouraging to see the, when you see the cloud go by, you're like, oh, there's the presence, you know? And so when you see that, the pillar of cloud, you're like, oh, there it is. There's the presence. I mean, that would have been encouraging.
Oh, it would have been unbelievable, because it's like, you know, we know that the Holy Spirit resides within us and he goes with us wherever we go.
Yes.
But I don't see it. There's not a cloud, you know, floating around with me during the daytime, but they had this actual, I don't want to use the word tangible, but they had this actual visual of the Lord's presence. Moses visually saw the presence of the Lord encompass a bush, telling him what to do. Mm-hmm. And so as I look at that, I'm just like, whoa, that's what I want. But God wants us to come into his presence, not with our list of needs. I believe he sometimes just wants us to come to him and just want to be there with him, be where he is, dwell where he dwells. And that's what the children of Israel had for 40 years, was dwelling where the Lord dwelled, being where he was. And so when I look at another verse, and this is Psalms 16:11. And this is David. You know, David, I think, had such an understanding of what it was to be in the presence of God. Yeah. And when you read this verse, it says here in verse 11, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You will fill me with joy in your presence. When we come into the presence of God, we're filled with joy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so why wouldn't we want to be in the presence of the Lord? If you want, if you're spending time in his presence, then what happens is you begin to get filled with joy. You get to be filled with peace, compassion, love, all of these things that encompass and are the attributes of who God is. And so I look at that and I think, oh man, David got it. David totally got what it meant to spend time in the presence of the Lord. And I think part of that was because he was this shepherd hanging out on, you know, the hills with the sheep by himself. All he had was like his harp, sheep, and the Lord. So what more would you do? You'd be spending time in his presence. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I look at these things and I am just mind blown at how we fail to just set time aside to be in his presence. And the last verse that really stands out to me is Psalm 27:4. And it says this in the NIV. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. And it talks about dwelling in his presence. There's another version of that scripture that talks about being in the presence of the Lord in his house forever. Because back then, that's where the presence of the Lord resided, was wherever the ark was, that's where the presence of the Lord was.
Yeah.
The ark was always kept in the temple, the house of the Lord. I mean, I don't know about you, Jamie, but I try very hard to take time out to spend time in God's presence. It's not always easy either.
Oh, no, especially with so many distractions around us. It could be our family. I mean, it could be anything. I mean, but, you know, like I was saying earlier, we were talking before we got on the podcast. It's, you know, the Lord, he's jealous for our time. He's jealous for us. And, you know, it's like we need to be so in tune with him, you know, and, you know, what comes from knowing the Father? It's our personal identity. It's a home in heaven. It's total security. It's to please my Father. And that's what we need to do. I mean, that's what comes to of knowing him. When you know him, you have these attributes of knowing that you have total security. You have a home in heaven. You want to please him. And what's way of pleasing him more than spending time with him?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, like when you say that, it's like you become more like him the more you spend time in his presence, just like you're saying. And so it's like you can bring the peace of God into any crazy situation.
Yeah.
When you spend time in his presence, it actually begins to show on you. And that's what happened to Moses. He came away and he looked different. They were like, whoa, this guy, like, he's not looking the same. And it's because the glory of the Lord was upon him. I want to be like that so that I can bring peace, joy, comfort, life into my family. I want the glory of the Lord to be on me because I've been in his presence. I want people to know when they come up beside me, she's been in the presence of the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
And so just like my husband, I long to just be in his presence and not want anything from him. Sometimes my prayers consist of, Lord, I love you. And it's just so good to know that you're my Father. And I can come to you about anything. But today, I just want to tell you how amazing you are, Lord. How much I adore you. And I praise your holy name.
That's right.
And I just want to be with you. Come near to me, Father. Let me know you are close.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going in there with my laundry list of needs. Yeah. He already knows them anyways.
Or wants. I mean, we should be so wanting him. Mm. I want you, Lord.
Yes.
You know, I want you. And just to be so surrendered in our hearts. Because we are just here temporary.
That's right.
You know, our home is in heaven. That's our home. We're sojourners here. We're just here for a short amount of time. Yeah. For like a minuscule of time. And I believe time is short. Yeah. I believe we're coming to the age of closure here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
I truly believe that. I believe that we're no accident in being in such a time as this. I believe we're here for a purpose.
Yeah.
And we really need to be in tune with him and spending time with him more than ever, especially the things around us are just going to wax worse and worse. Yes. I mean, that's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
The Bible says that things are going to wane. They're going to wax worse. Mm-hmm. Things mm-hmm. aren't going to get better. I mean, we want things to get better and yeah. we're going to make good decisions as a Christian. We're going to vote people in the right way. We're going to do the right things, you
that's
know,
right.
But things aren't, ultimately, in the world, things are not getting better. I mean, the whole earth is groaning for God's return.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, look yeah. at the weather patterns all over the world right now. I mean, it's craziness. Things aren't, you know, birds and fish are dying all over the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, things aren't getting better. And do people want to say it's climate change and all this stuff?
Yeah, I was going to say the world wants to call it global warming, but that's not what it is. This is a result of the signs of the times. It's a result of the shift that's taking place in the atmosphere. And that takes me to, what kind of atmosphere are we setting up? What's the atmosphere that we set up in our life, our personal life? What's the atmosphere that we set up in our homes for our families? Mm-hmm. You know, what's the atmosphere in your church like? And these are questions that can only be answered by, how much time do you spend in his company? How much time do you spend in the presence of the Lord? Because if you're spending time in his presence, then you'll know that the atmosphere is going to be that atmosphere that comes with God.
Yeah.
But when you're outside of his presence and you're going it alone, and you only come to him with, like, you know, gimme daddy, gimme get it, gimme daddy, you know.
Gimme daddy, gimme daddy.
Yeah. It's like, whoa.
When you're treating God like a sugar daddy, you don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. He ain't no sugar daddy. He Mm-mm. He wants to do all good things for you.
Yeah.
Everything that is in him is geared towards blessing us. But I think that we need to learn how to better give him the credit for who he is, for what he has done, and want to spend time in his presence. And it's just, it yeah. keeps taking me back to, you know, last Friday with John. I just wanted to be with him. I didn't want anything from him. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to be around him. Why did I want to be around him? Well, because I love him. Because I love his company, because I think that he's fun to talk to, because I enjoy doing things with him, because it's easy to hang out with him. Mm-hmm. Isn't that how it should be with the Lord? We want to be in his presence because we love him. We want to be with him because he's easy to talk to. We want to be with him because he has nothing but the best in store for us.
His plans are for us and they're not against us.
Yes. So why not set time aside to just hang with the Father?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm. and that's what I did today as another example. Today, I met my mom and dad for lunch. Mm-hmm. I could have very well stayed home and made lunch here and saved myself the money. But why not just hang out?
Yeah.
With, you know, I thought, yeah. why not? Let me hang out with my mom and dad. I don't mm-hmm. get a lot of one-on-one time with them. And this is yeah. precious to me. They're getting
it's
older.
Very precious. Yeah.
So why isn't mm-hmm. it that we make time for one-on-one with the Lord? Why isn't it that we see that as precious time too?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and like, you know, the days of Moses, you know, they got to see the pillar, and it was kind of probably moving when they saw the pillar, and they knew, oh, that was God's presence. But, you know, we are in the new covenant now, you know, now we have the holy presence in our vessels now, and now he is carried throughout us, and now we can manifest all of his spirit to others.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what I was reading. I was reading in 2 Corinthians 4, the light of the gospel. And, excuse me, I take that back. It was 2 Corinthians 3, the ministers of the new covenant. That's who we are.
Yes. Yes, we are.
We're the ministers of the new covenant. And now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that's where boldness comes in too, because we got that spirit of boldness through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And so now we have that spirit in us, and now we have the manifestation of him in us. And how awesome is that, that we can be that manifestation now? It's no longer a cloud. Now we being in the image of Christ, being generated day by day, we're being renewed.
Yeah.
And it's right. A process, but we're going to manifest him. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the same girl I was yesterday. Guess what? I wasn't the same. I'm not the same girl I was 2 years ago, but I am progressing into manifesting his spirit. And that's what I'm excited about, knowing that I'm a part of that new covenant. And it just makes my eyes water up, because I know what he's done in my life. And I know it's done in your life. I've seen it with your own life.
Yeah.
And I heard it from a friend yesterday. I'm not going to mention your name. I know you're probably listening. But she gave me a call yesterday, and I hadn't heard from this girl probably since 2010, when I was going through my rough bout in my life, when I was a wayward daughter. And you know what I thought about that, Chanda? I thought about that. I was like, you know, me and her met each other. When we first met each other, we were on a spiritual high with the Lord. We went to a great church. The youth minister was amazing. And then that church split, maybe my junior year. And that hurt all of us, you know? And I thought, okay, we kept in touch, you know, through social media and all that. And then we got in contact with it. She called me up last night, but we had talked back in 2010. She was in LA, I was in LA. And I was like, gosh, we could probably meet up, you know? But you know what I thought? And I didn't tell her this last night, but I was thinking, you know, God didn't want us to meet up at that time. He didn't want us to connect, because we both weren't right with the Lord. And now she contacts me, and she's like praising Jesus. She's like, Jamie, something happened to me. I'm not the same. And I'm sorry I hadn't, you know, those messages that you sent me a couple years ago about the Lord and all that. You know, I mean, I didn't really get it. Now I get it. And she's just like praising Jesus. And it's just like, that's the manifestation. And now look, everybody's going to see it on her, because now she's spending time with the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the evidence of God in your life. Yeah. It begins to come out, and other people see that you've changed.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were a couple of things you were saying there that was something. One thing was that, you know, you were both unhealthy individuals. You were spiritually unhealthy, and God prevented you from coming together. Because when you get two unhealthy, you know, people together, that's a recipe for disaster. Who knows what kind of paths you could have ended up down.
Yeah.
But then he brings you back together in a connection, because you know, your life had turned around, and you began to share that, and you're sharing the presence of the Lord in your life with her. And you're, and as you use that term, manifested, it was the presence of God oozing out of you. The glory of the Lord is coming out of you and what he's done in your life. And so it overflows to her. And now, because she's experienced that, she's been in the presence of God, she's experienced that wonderful glory She's coming back to you and sharing it with you.
Yeah, it's so fun. Oh, and
it's like a wonderful ping pong game. And it's like, you know, but it's not, I don't want to refer to it as a game, but it's like the ripple, you know, and the waves, and it keeps coming and it washes over. And I know that I've experienced that in the presence of God. It's like when you're in his presence, these waves wash over you.
Yeah.
And you just want other people to experience it. Yeah. If you've ever had a deep, amazing experience with God, you want others to experience that.
Yeah, you do.
Because it's it's something that is deep and it resonates within your soul. And you know, the definition of presence is being present in a place or a thing, but it also is that a person or thing that exists or is present but not seen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. God. He's present, mm-hmm. but he's not seen.
Yeah.
And I had said something to my dad years ago, and it was that people will never know how much they miss you until they feel the absence of your presence.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's a little bit deep. It was deep when it came out of my mouth the first mm-hmm. time, and mm-hmm. I had to pause and rethink about it. And I will say that one more time. People will never know how much you mean to them till they feel the absence of your presence. Have you ever had a time in your life where you felt the absence of God? Mm. That's a scary place to be.
Yeah.
The absence of his presence. Because there are times that we go so far down a road that he's not right beside us. Now, he's overlooking us. He may intervene at times because he does monitor our things, but there are times where our free will takes over and we go down a path where he's like, I ain't going into that place with you guys. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you will feel in a pit of despair, lonely, desperate, depressed. And I know that there have been times where I'm like, I don't feel like God is near.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I not feel like he's near? Because a mm-hmm. lot of times I think that it's us. It's not him. Mm-hmm. It's us. We shut him off. We put the walls up.
Mm-hmm.
Like we become a little shell. We put shells all around ourselves. And it's like, I ain't even going to let God in this one.
Because
I'm going down such a path. I don't need nobody.
Yeah. It's every day is a step of faith for us. Like, you know, in a choice. So we can either choose him or choose the world. And that's normally what happens. Every time we choose the world, it's like kind of like we talked about in the past about our cup being less. Every time we choose the world, the water in the cup gets smaller. Mm-hmm. So then you're just kind of like, ooh, over here. But then when you choose Christ and you walk in faith, then that cup gets fuller and you're like, man, I really feel his presence, you know, and it's because you're communing with him. You're choosing him. You're choosing wisdom.
Yes.
Instead of foolishness. That's what we're doing. I mean, those are the two choices we get. And we do mm-hmm. have free will in that. I mean, we do. I mean,
yeah,
he's not, you know, he's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's going to, you know, be like, okay, here you go. You know, you're going to choose that. This is, you're going to see the consequences of it and you're going to be disciplined for it. It's not going to feel too good, but you have free will.
You do you, boo. That's what the Holy Spirit says. If you want to do that, you go right ahead. That's mm-hmm. the free will. That's the difference in us and angelic beings. They don't, you know what I'm saying? That we have a choice. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about that cup. Your cup can get so full that what happens is so full of the Holy Spirit, so full of his presence, that it begins to splash out onto other people around you.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we all want, right?
I want to splash everywhere, you know? Yeah. I want to be making a whole hot mess because he just constantly keeps filling me up to overflowing.
Yeah.
That's where I want to be in my mm-hmm. life. But that only comes through time in his presence. He mm-hmm. can only fill you up if you come to him with your hands upright saying, Father, fill me, fill my cup. But mm-hmm. if you go with your hands down and making decisions on your own, it's like you're stepping further and further into darkness.
Yeah.
And you're not inviting the light along.
Yeah.
And so he, like you said, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you. So if you choose darkness, that's your prerogative.
Yeah.
But if you choose light, oh, watch out, because he'll chase all the darkness away.
Yeah.
Because the darkness cannot hide from the light.
Yeah.
It runs.
It's true. It is so true. And you don't want, like, once you've been full with the spirit, it's like you don't ever want to be low. Like, you can sense it when it's getting low and you're like, oh no, 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 no. And I'm quick. I'm like, oh no, 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 no. Something's not right, Lord. I'll go quick and I'll, you guys, this is what I do when I pray. This is me personally. I go to my room. I put my head on the cover. I'm kneeling with a pillow on my knee and I'm kneeling at my bedside with the cover over my head. That's me when I pray. And I'm like, Lord, I feel like a little bit of water's coming out and I don't want that. So, and I'll just start crying, Lord, please fill me back up because I don't want to be low again. I've been low and I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I do not like being that in that place at all. So I'm constantly like, Lord, check me.
Well, and I think that we have to, that it ties into what we were talking about last week, you know, on the mountaintop, remembering him on the mountaintop. We have a tendency to get to those high places forgetting about spending time in his presence, and we begin to get dry.
Mm-hmm.
Or we are giving, serving, doing, pouring out of our cup to this person, mm-hmm. pouring mm-hmm. out of our cup to that person. And then all of a sudden we turn around and we're like, man, I was giving so much. I didn't give time to him to keep my cup full. And now I've got an empty cup. Mm-hmm. And when you end up with an empty, dry cup, you're parched. You end up in mm-hmm. a desert.
Yeah.
And your thirst can only be satisfied through the living water of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the woman at the well, Jesus yep. told her, he said, I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again. Because
mm-hmm.
he's the living water, and that's what he'll do. And so we have to be conscientious that this world is here to suck us dry.
Mm-hmm.
It is here to dry us out. And it is here to cause us to lose our joy.
Yeah.
To be so busy that we don't make time for him in our day. I don't want to reach that place. I don't want to be there without him. I couldn't go a day without the Lord.
Yeah. And, you know, you could sense it, like, when you're low, and especially if you're like you're a minister, you minister in front of people, and it's like, oh Lord, I've got to make sure I want to be full before I get up on that stage. And that's the same for me. Like when I'm up on in the choir singing, I don't want to be the fake person. I want to be the real person. And you know what? You want people to see the real Jesus, you yes. know, and I don't care if they tell you, put a big smile on your face. It's like, it better be on there before you get up on that stage.
Yes, you should be. It should be like resonating. It just oozes like, out of you. The yes. joy, the glory of God, the happiness. And that's the difference. It's like you don't, if you go in there, here's the thing. We lead worship, my husband and I. If I were to show up on a Sunday and expect us to lead worship but get filled up at the same time, mm-hmm. ain't gonna happen. I'm gonna be real, because there's too many moving parts. I get filled up during the week so that's that right. I can then go give out on a Sunday.
Yeah.
But if I was dependent upon, oh, I'm leading worship and I'm gonna get filled up during that time, it's just not real.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be faking it, so, and it would be obvious. I'm not a good faker. My face says it all, and so do my eyes. And people are like, "Oh, you got a stink eye, girl." But it's and that's what happens when we become empty, when we are outside of his presence. Mm-hmm. We come to that place of whether it be our face says it all, mm-hmm. our posture, you know, we might not have to open our mouths.
Yeah.
But we've said everything without opening our mouths.
Yeah. And, you know, granted, let me tell you, and I could talk from experience here too. When my mother passed away, before she passed away, She said, Jamie, I want you to sing at my funeral. Mm. Right? A couple days. Mm. I was like, oh, and I just started crying. And she goes, don't you dare start crying in the middle of the song when you sing at my funeral.
Oh, sure, Mama, no problem.
Like, you know what? I'm so glad she said that to me because I did sing. And you know what song I sang? Mm. You will not believe this. I sang it without crying too. It is well with my soul.
Ooh, that's a hard one to sing anytime, yeah. but at your own mother's homegoing service, that is really tough. But praise the Lord, he carried you through it.
He got me through it. It was God that got me through that. And I had such a peace.
Of course.
And I mean, I'm a teary-eyed just thinking about the strength and the grace that God gave me to carry me through that song, because that's not any, like you said, it's not an easy song to sing, especially if your mother's going home. Mm-hmm. And I look back and I'm like, golly, thank you, Lord, for the grace to get me through that song. But he does. He'll get you through it. And you know he will, because you have the faith in knowing that he's with you and you have his spirit in you. Mm. And he'll give you the strength to carry on.
That's the truth. That is exactly it. And I will, you know, tying in, God has really given us a theme recently. And this theme seems to be, you know, seasons. It's the mountaintops, but it is remembering who he is through the seasons of change, who he is on the mountaintops, and how to spend time in his presence. And as I've been thinking about these things, God keeps building and building upon it. And I just want to encourage everybody that there are going to be seasons that are harder than others. There's going to be some seasons you just don't feel like it. You don't feel like getting before the Lord because it's hard. And because you're going before him and you do have a laundry list of things that you need God to move in your life. We all do. Mm-hmm. So I'm not belittling the lists that we have. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is that's the easy part, is to bring all the lists. The hard part is to check the list at the door and say, Father, you already know my needs. I just want to come and praise your name. I want to bless you for who you are. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are my healer. You are Jehovah Sidkenu. You are my banner. Mm-hmm. When we begin to recognize who he is, then we start to understand whose we are and who are in him. Mm-hmm. And it'll be easier to spend time in his presence. But sometimes those are the hardest seasons of our life. And I've been there where I have, let me tell you, I have worked my butt off for a church before. I mean, like when I say butt, mm-hmm. I literally worked my butt off. I was mm-hmm. there on a Tuesday. I was there on a Wednesday. I would show up on a Thursday and I'd be at the event on the Saturday. And then mm-hmm. I would go and I'd be there for two services on a Sunday helping lead worship. Oh, and I'd make food for the band. And you want to talk about a season of burnout? Mm-hmm. Because I made a huge mistake, and I don't want anybody that's listening to this to make this mistake. And I'm a pastor's kid, and I knew better. Yeah. I made this huge mistake that by all the serving that I was doing and all the roles I was fulfilling at the church that we were members of, that was a substitute for spending time in his presence.
Mm.
Yeah. Ooh,
yeah.
I made a
word right there. Mistake.
Don't be fooled. The more you serve doesn't equal time in his presence. That's I was right. wrong. I was out of line and I was outside the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, he got a hold of me and he shook me to my core with specific situations that took place in my life and in my family. And it drew me to my knees and into his presence. And he highlighted, do you see what you've been doing for all these years, Shonda?
Aw.
You were becoming a people pleaser and you thought that substituted, because it was the church,
yeah.
You thought that substituted me and it was good enough.
Yeah, it just reminds me of Mary and Martha, you know, and Mary was sitting there with Jesus at his feet and with the perfume, the alabaster jar, and just sort of washing his feet and wiping her head, using her hair to wipe his feet. Mm-hmm. And he was like, this is what I want. I want you to be in my presence. This is where it's at, right here. And I just love that. I just love knowing that that's all he wants from us is his presence. And he wants us to know that this is eternity stuff right here.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was Mary Magdalene who did that. And she brought this, and that's what made it so. She wasn't the person that should have been anointing his feet. Mm-hmm. She was a prostitute, guys. Mm-hmm. But she recognized who he was, the savior of the world, and she wanted to be in his presence. And so she brought her very best to him.
That's right.
So we should be bringing our best to him, not giving him the leftover time that we have 5 minutes at the end of the day.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Or at the end of the week. Or, well, I went to church on Sunday. I showed up, Lord. Oh, okay, you showed up. But wait a second. You expect him to show up to help you make that rental payment and to pay the bills and to provide the job and to help your child who's being bullied at school. You expect him to show up on all of those occasions, and you think you made yourself a big old effort because you showed up on Sunday.
Yeah.
Where are you the other 6 days of the week?
Mm-hmm. It makes a difference.
Because he's sitting there waiting for you. And so I liken my time, and I'll say this and let Jamie wrap up. I liken my time in the presence of God coming into his throne room. Mm-hmm. And I come humbly, just like you were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. I bring him my best praise. I bring him my best energy and my best love and my adoration. Because when you adore someone, like we should adore our Heavenly Father, mm-hmm. we will get on our faces before him, mm-hmm. and we will recognize that he is the creator of the universe. And we will long and crave to be with him.
Yeah.
We'll have a hankering, which is one of my favorite words. I'll have a hankering for the Holy Spirit. I got a hankering for the Lord to be wherever he is.
Amen. Amen.
So I don't know if you got anything to add there, Jamie, but I'm
telling you, for me, I just can't reiterate Mary Magdalene. I just can't reiterate the way she was and how Martha was doing some good things. She was being a little good, you know, do-gooder, you know, getting things done and serving and all that. But here is the savior of the world that saved me from my sin. Mm-hmm. I want to be in his presence and I want to wash his feet. I want to do whatever it takes to make him feel comfortable and that he knows that I love him.
Yeah.
And you know, the hair on a woman's head is her glory. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for her to wipe her glory, all over Jesus's feet.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I mean, it's like it just shows how we just need to be in his presence humbly, and to know that he is, Lord of all.
Yeah,
and he is. He deserves our praise.
Yeah, he does. He does, and to just pour out what we have to him. And it will, your life will become sweeter. It will become stronger. It will be just amazing if we just learn to sit at his feet. And that's really what it is, you know, between those two sisters, there was a situation there where one was serving and one chose to sit because she saw the value of spending time in his presence.
Yeah.
Oh, that we would be like that.
Yes.
Well, guys, we're going to wrap it up there. Spend time in his presence.
Yeah.
Try and do it every day. He longs to spend time with you.
Mm-hmm. And he loves you. He loves you so much. I mean, he died for you.
Yes.
And he wants to give you new life. And he wants to give you all the things that your heart desires. But it's going to be in his will. It's going to be in what's going to be. He knows what's good for you, and he's going to give you those things that he knows what's good for you. And you just got to trust him. Just got to worship and trust him that he will get you through this time that you're going through.
Yeah. And there is a hymn, and I will tell you the lyrics here. And it is this hymn depicts spending time in the presence of the Lord. And it says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the joy we share while I tarry there, none other has ever known. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. So I think that, you know, when you listen to those lyrics of the old hymns, that's someone right there who understood what being in the presence of God is like.
Yes.
Powerful. Because he walks with you and he'll talk with you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So be blessed today. We love you guys. Thanks so much for listening to Chicken Wrangler. That's what I was about to say. She's really got it going on. Her and her one duck and all them chickens.
Oh, let me tell you, they keep us busy.
Yeah, they do, girl. Oh, Lord. But God is good. Be blessed. Yeah. And you guys bless us just by listening. Share this podcast with other people if it ministers to you. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or on Spotify. And we thank you for participating. We love you guys.
Yes. And we appreciate all you guys as when you guys talk about us and write up a review for us. We really appreciate y'all doing that for us. It really helps us out. We love y'all.
Yep, it'll get it out there to other people. We love you. Be blessed and wrangle that freedom.
Wrangle, wrangle.
You've been listening to Freedom Wranglers. That music right there is Later Alligator by Shane Ivers, and you can find that at www.silvermansound.com. We also want to thank Goodman Ministries for all of their financial support for this podcast. Now, don't you forget to saddle up, sit back, and wrangle in freedom this week.